Welcome to another episode of Fresh from the Hill, Inside Stories of Noteworthy Cornellians. My name is Lou Diamond, CEO of Thrive, host of Thrive Loud, class of 92, proud supporter of the Big Red, and your host of today's episode. Today on Fresh from the Hill, we are featuring Becky Katz. Becky Katz is currently a Robert Bosch Fellow, a prestigious program that accepts 15 professionals and provides professional development in Germany. Her fellowship's focus is on deepening her experience in civic participation and public realm design. She came to Germany from Atlanta, where she was the city's first chief bicycle officer. Can't wait to learn more about this. And she's also been very much involved in making sure that towns are safer, easier, and a better way to get around. Her main initiatives included launching and overseeing the Relay Bike Share System, increasing the city's bikeway mileage through the Renew Atlanta infrastructure. She left Cornell University with a degree in environmental engineering. Becky Katz, welcome to Fresh from the Hill. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
So I love programs about this, and I love speaking to people who've just left Cornell and have done some pretty passionate things and have really tapped into things that they love. So obviously, I'm very curious, and so are the listeners as well, to kind of learn a little of your journey on how you got to Germany and why you're living your passion each day here. So can you share that a little bit of your story from when you graduated and then your first jobs and moved on to where you are today?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And actually, having just joined a new program, there's a lot of discussion about pathways and how I think in retrospect, maybe sometimes they feel like, oh, that really worked. But while you're living it, you're like, what am I doing? And I say a little bit that has also been my path. After Cornell, I actually moved to Saudi Arabia to do a master's degree in engineering. It was the reason why I joined the program was my faculty advisor in Cornell had suggested that it may be a good fit. And I kind of thought he was a bit crazy. But going through the process of being nominated for the program and interviewing, I went, and it was an amazing experience. I was there for 3 semesters and got my environmental engineering master's degree. Then I took a few months off, and then I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, where I got a job at a local parks nonprofit called Park Pride. And my interest has always been in the overlap of engineering and community, and how engineering affects community and culture, and how culture and community affects public realm and engineering projects. And so Park Pride was a fabulous fit because they had a program that they called the Visioning Program. I only take jobs that have great names. And I worked with an amazing staff of 9 other people, and we helped to empower communities to redesign their park or to design new parks and oversee construction projects in parks. And then the city of Atlanta, which I had lived already for 4 or 5 years, created this fabulous new position about focusing on improving bike infrastructure. I biked in Atlanta because when I first moved there, I was too broke to own a car and had kind of found my passion in building community in that space. And my overlap of interest in engineering and design and community building and community empowerment was a really great fit. And I was hired through a normal hiring process. And then I got to have one of the most wonderful jobs, which was to form a lot of our initial really big push at the city to become a more bike-friendly place. A lot of people had done bits and pieces, but there was never a dedicated person to making it happen. And so I was there for 3 years, and it was just kind of the right time for me, and I was hoping to go abroad again. And so I applied for this fabulous program, which is the Robert Bosch Fellowship program, and I also was accepted. And I just moved 3 weeks ago, and I just started German language training. But I'll have 2 professional placements here in my field at German companies or German city government, and where I'll get to learn about how they do what I do in the U.S.
That's great. I'm just laughing as I still look back at Chief Bicycle Officer. I had this vision of you actually pulling everybody over, anyone who is, you know, riding incorrectly or doing, illegal turns on their bicycle.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many people actually thought I was actually a sworn police officer. I was like, no, it's just a fancy title for a very typical city function, which is to plan and design new projects for people who bike. So that includes trails and bike lanes, and I oversaw the launch of our bike share system, which was really a thrilling project, along with some education and again, working directly with communities on education about biking.
So this is great that you've taken what you've always been about and a real appreciation to, literally, you're an environmental engineer. Yeah. So I guess the real interesting question, going back, would you say, what was maybe one of the most important courses that you took while at Cornell that still had an effect on you today? Because obviously not everybody is able to take what they learned and have that specific major be the career path that they're on. So what specifically was your favorite course or most memorable course for that matter that you still think about today?
I think it was two things. And actually my specific study at Cornell kind of changed, which is something that I really, really appreciated about Cornell, because almost every subject in any field at Cornell is good. I felt very safe attending just in case like I changed my mind or if I wanted to explore something else. So I think that was something that was really, really impactful to my life at Cornell, and that I had friends in different majors and I got to learn about them. But two things. One, I did an engineering co-op at a private engineering firm, and it actually really taught me what I didn't want to do. Right. Which was really impactful to me, because I had gone into engineering thinking that I would be a traditional engineer, work at an engineering firm. And I worked at this great firm. It was young. They drank beer on Friday afternoon, and I had just turned 21, so that was exciting. And it just didn't work for me. Like, I can't imagine myself. And I think that, to this day, has been something I think about a lot, that, you know, you need to take the opportunity to figure out what you also don't like to do. And Cornell provided me with that opportunity in a small dose, you know, because it was just, I took a semester off and, I actually lived at home and commuted. And it was like just this very kind of what maybe I had expected or what I thought that I would do. And it just, this wasn't me. And that was a great learning experience. And then I also took a class called Agua Clara, where they built water treatment facilities in Honduras, in Nicaragua. And it was all about working directly with community members to design water treatment facilities and to empower the community to operate them and to build them within the local context and to build them with local materials. And I think that course has had a huge impact on me throughout my career. I don't know if I knew that at the time, because it was also a 7:30 or 8 a.m. class.
It's 7:30. There were no 7:30 class. Maybe you had to wake up at 7:30.
I don't know. Maybe it was 8. Maybe I had to wake up at 7:30. But I just remember being in college and being like, this is really early. and there was pop quizzes. But the actual content of this, like, it was my first real like eye-opening class, where it was like, wow, this is such a different take on engineering. This is, you know, I think that there's folklore in the engineering is like, oh, it's just an optimization problem. You know, it's just figure it out. There's a lot of plug and play kind of conversations. But this was kind of the first class that was like, no, I mean, we need to work directly with communities to understand where they are, what they have access to, to provide better solutions, doesn't
it? It's great. I was just thinking, by the way, the irony of that you're working at a place that had drinks on Fridays as we're recording this on a Thursday, and you're drinking a beer right now as we're recording. So,
as I said, I am in Germany.
Which is great. And that actually brings up a great point. So, you know, most Cornellians will tend to be, they're from the Northeast or parts of the United States, and you've had the experience now twice to go international, obviously, to study in Saudi Arabia from your connection, from your professor, and obviously now get this amazing fellowship to be out in Germany. Talk to the listeners here and give us a little understanding of being abroad, and is there a connection still to Cornell from that? Because, you know, there's a lot of things. I'm actually in the New York area, like many Cornellians are, and that is, it's easy to find, you know, whether from the Cornell Club or the university itself, but you're remote in different parts of the world. What's your connectivity to the school from there?
Actually, it's hilarious because it's really easy to find Cornellians. So when I moved to Atlanta, my two closest friends both went to Cornell, one at the same time as me and one I had met through the Alumni Association. So that was amazing. Plus, our previous commissioner of parks in Atlanta worked at Cornell, went to Cornell. And in my program, there's 15 of us, and somebody else, also one of the other fellows, went to Cornell. So I feel like I'm never too far from my wonderful memories and lots of ability to reminisce. But so I definitely feel like I still have a very strong connection, and that. I mean, that time period of my life was just so wonderful and very informative. So
you've already had an impact on now two or three different communities and helping them. Talk to me about what your plan or maybe your vision is for the future, or some goals that you would love to achieve, and take, I guess, what you've built upon and bring it on to the next level.
Oh, that's such a good question, especially for where I am right now, given that I'm in a program for 1 year. And I'm actually have kind of left myself totally open, although all my friends in Atlanta would tell you that I'm coming back to Atlanta. but I am really interested in continuing to work in city government. I think that there is a resurgence of interest in city government, and there's a resurgence of power within cities. And I just think that I will continue on a path of some sort of leadership role in city government, shaping the public realm.
I like that. And by the way, noble, and also, I guess, in a way of giving back, you know, being involved in communities takes two lines, right? There's the public service aspect of it, but there's also the messy stuff, if you would. You know, there's some political stuff to deal with in bureaucracy. I always applaud those that stick with their passion because it's something that they care about and know that that's a space that they can succeed in. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges and hurdles for you as you look ahead to the things that you want to do that you would like to maybe challenge yourself to overcome, or, as you know, or to be able to help you become better at what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in the end of the day, all jobs are about networking and having real authentic relationships. And I think that's always a challenge, especially as you get older and more set in your ways and have more routine and more responsibility. And I always try and take some of the stuff that I learned at Cornell, especially like in college, when it's like this very social time and you have so much exposure, and to really bring that into my life constantly of always being open to meeting people for coffee, always learning more about folks and deepening my relationship with them. And I'd also, I think, like to stay hip to all like current best practices of engineering and design, which I also think can sometimes be challenging, especially because I feel like as you move through your career, especially in engineering, you get further and further from doing the actual work. and you do more of the project management and clearing the pathways, you know, navigating through the politics, which I also do enjoy, but you get further and further away from being, you know, on top of all the best practices. And so both of those things I really continue to try and build on. And so a program like this has, you know, really shook up my life, right? And I think it's really great for me personally to being in a brand new situation in a brand new country, in a, you know, a fellowship group. And so, you know, rebuilding those relationships and me remembering what, you know, full change in your life feels like. And I think that's been really, really great for me right now. And something that I'm going to try and continue to carry with me.
I think it's great. I was going to bring this up because this is an interesting point. And judging by, so you graduated in 2009, and I graduated in the Neolithic era a long, long time ago. And one of the things that I have noticed, obviously, is that the College of Engineering at Cornell has obviously made a very conscious effort to continue to attract women engineers. Mm-hmm. And it is definitely still a minority within the university, but it's growing every single year. Give some kind of messages or words of advice to young women at Cornell right now, looking to, you know, that or people who've just left and are trying to figure out how to incorporate. You really are incorporating what you do. And it is a very unbalanced world, if you would, from engineers and men and women. So from your perspective, someone who's been successful in this, if was that a challenge, or is that something or messages that you can give back either to students or recent grads to help them know how to navigate that landscape?
I think I have become more aware of some of the issues I faced at Cornell later in life. As a reflection, I think when I was there, I was very self-conscious almost about it. I was like, I don't want to be called out for being a woman engineer. I don't want to talk about this. It's just not a big deal. It's not a big deal. That's what I kind of always said to myself. And I think, you know, one major benefit, again, to bring back something I really love about Cornell, is that you don't live with all engineers, right? So you're not overwhelmed all the time with this certain kind of culture. But my main advice to any woman is that just because you're not good at one of the subjects in engineering, especially because you have to have this, you know, strong foundation of things that you may have no interest in, does not mean you're stupid. And I think that there is a perception, sadly, within young men in engineering, that if a woman isn't good at physics too, she's not going to be a good engineer. And you just kind of have to suffer through that, and people suffer through it. I suffered through physics too. Electromagnetism is not something I ever want to talk about again. I'm sorry, but the right-hand rule, you know, it's just really above my head. And that's totally fine, because I found the type of engineering where I could fulfill things that I was interested in. But you kind of have to go through the slog. And I think that's what, you know, makes people proud to be an engineer, that you have this strong foundation. But it is really intimidating when you're in a class of mostly men and you're going through a group selection process, and immediately it's assumed that you're not as talented as other people in the class because you're a woman. And I think that's a real challenge and something. And then what I really have found later in life, you know, in my career, is really finding a group of people. Typically, I tend to find groups of women who are also engineers who understand, but even men who really you can relate to and talk about school and class and what you're struggling with in a really comfortable setting, who really believe in you and who have faced similar struggles. I think that type of mentorship is really, really important. And I think I really applaud Cornell for not just increasing women within the student body, but women within the administration and within the professors, because I think that's really important. Most of my professors at the time were male, and that can be hard because you're like, what am I aspiring to be? Like, I'm not aspiring to be an older white man. It's not something I can aspire to be. So, you know, it's a diversification on both sides. And I think Cornell has definitely moved the needle on that. And, you know, really finding your purpose within engineering, I think that is a big motivation for me to continue my studies and really go through some of that struggle.
A great point and great words. I can't wait now for Becky Katz to come back to Cornell and actually speak in one of these classes, because I think that's on your radar right now, which is a good segue here. Talk to us. How often have you been back, and how connected do you... do you still feel the sense of pride about being a Cornell?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have only been back once since college. I shouldn't even say this out loud.
Let alone on a recorded line of Fresh from the Hill. But yes. Okay.
Yeah. That, but it's true. I've only been back once, but I think of Ithaca extremely fondly and often. And, you know, to me, I think Cornell is a mobile identity. You know, it's not based so much in place, although Ithaca does have my heart, and the farmers market I miss greatly. But to me, it's really that network, and that's still very present in my life. And both my friendship group and my professional network has been impacted by the fact that I went to Cornell. And so I definitely feel proud to have gone there and lucky. I just think that it was a really wonderful time in my life and that I got both a strong education, but also a really strong social and professional network.
So Becky, I'm going to do what they call a podcast crossover here. I'm going to ask a question that I ask in my program a lot because I think it's actually really relevant to what this is. And we've been doing your history and learning your stories and asking questions, which is great. And as we know, it's not just about the experience that you have. It also has a lot to do with what you do for yourself, because a top performer like you really moves to the next level. So I love asking this question. When you have trouble thriving, when Becky Katz is having an off day, what practice or who do you turn to get back on the thriving track?
Oh, I think it probably depends on what the struggle is, but in city government, I think, there are definitely, more emotional, like psychological challenges of like, you interact with a lot of people who have a lot of different ideas and taking that all in. And so I definitely have a really tight-knit group of women friends that I rely on. I'll like text message them and we'll have like a little group text message and we'll hang out. I have a wonderful husband who provides me with a ton of emotional support, and I'm very, very thankful for him every single day. And honestly, I do things that are outside my profession to take my mind off things. I actually do aerial silks, which is totally unrelated, and I'm not good at it, but it's physical activity, it's exciting, it's kind of scary. And that really helps me to have that kind of thing, those kind of interests outside. Along with, I really love to read, and I really love to read fiction. And I think that also provides me with a great escape to my life.
So Becky, if you could, can you share with our listeners any of the places that things that we should be on the lookout for Becky Katz, all the places that we can, learn about you, find about you, or some of the programs you're doing so they can learn more about the great things that you have done?
Yeah, I mean, I'd highly recommend a visit to Atlanta, Georgia. There's a lot of great things to see, and make sure you ride the Bike Share program while you're there. It's called Freely Bike Share. And right now, again, I'm on a program called the Robert Bosch Foundation Fellowship. It is for professionals in multiple sectors. And so if you have any interest in gaining skills abroad, I would highly recommend taking a look at their program. It's also a program in partnership with Cultural Vistas, which has a lot of various different programs for professionals who want to do professional development abroad, and I would highly recommend looking at those programs. Through my Cornell network, stay in touch.
I like it, and I'll finish off with these last two. From your days at Cornell, were you a Louis person or a hot truck person?
Oh, hot truck.
Okay. What was your favorite sandwich?
Oh, I don't know. All of them. Too late.
Oh, it's great. Well, by the way, that's probably the best answer we're going to ever have on programs. Becky Katz, thank you so much for coming on Fresh from the Hill, Inside Stories of Noteworthy Cornellians. You are more than noteworthy. You are one hell of a rock star. We look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great to talk.
Thank you again for joining us on Fresh from the Hill. I'm Lou Diamond, reminding you to stay connected and go big red. Music from Fresh from the Hill was written, produced, and recorded by Kia Albertson Rogers, class of 2014. You can contact him at koa3@cornell.edu.